Salt and light. Our text this morning is Matthew chapter 5. I want to talk to you about salt and light. As you may have already figured out, because it's right there. I didn't do it. It's already there on the front page, you notice the props on the stage that were too tall for Pete. So, he admitted to it. Our text this morning is coming from Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. You'll more than likely have heard this before. It's so common, but I don't want you to tune me out yet. I really would rather you didn't tune me out at all, but, you know, I know how hard it is to listen to me. I continue to have the privilege of taking common passages of Scripture and breathing fresh life into them. You have no idea how hard it is for a preacher to take something everybody's used to and then go, okay, God, what can I possibly say that nobody's heard before? And he constantly brings me back to passages that we should already know. And so there's my challenge. It was a hard sermon writing week. We can get so used to certain verses that we just read right past them. I do this too. And we don't stop to think about it because, I read that before. Be salt and light. Check my Facebook now. Let's read Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16. Sorry, Faith, I'm moving this on you. You can move it back later. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Two verses. Three verses. I can't count. I always say if a preacher gives you three verses, it's going to be a long one. You don't think it that way, but it means we're getting deep. These familiar words are often given as standalone statements that Jesus makes about our purpose in the world. I've often viewed them this way. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Cool. It wasn't until this week when I'm reading through them, and I'll give you some more insight. Every week that I preach, you seem to get a little more insight into my sermon prep. But when I prepare, I actually spend a few days just reading the text. I read it, and then I read it again, and then I read it again, and then I read it again. And that's pretty common until Thursday. Then I sit down and I say, okay, now let's talk about this. Let's get it out of my head now. I've just been reading it. It's good. Now let's put it on paper. It was a hard Thursday trying to write that. The week was great, but the sermon writing was difficult. And as I'm reading through it, I began to see something different. I began to notice things. I began to see even positioning of the verses there. Jesus is speaking these words as an introduction to a sermon. He just got up on the hill and he said, hey, blessed are, which is all about being happy, believe it or not. Blessed, happy, those words go together, especially the way they're translated here. And so we understand that you want happiness, so you need to be poor in spirit, merciful. There's a whole list of them. Blessed are, and he goes through a list of these things. Then he jumps right into this and says, hey, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And then he says a little verse about how he has the authority to talk about this, or a little passage. He says, I came to fulfill the law, not to abolish the law. And then he gets into his message. He breaks it down, you know, everyone's happy. Oh yeah, blessed are. Oh, that's beautiful, beautiful. He set them up and then he goes, so you've heard it said, well, you're wrong. And he goes through a whole bunch of, this is what you've heard said, and let me bring it to you this way. And he begins to speak to them. Church, remember that Jesus is the Word made flesh. Jesus is the Word of God. Can you imagine the power of the Word of God preaching? Just throwing it out there. Jesus is speaking these words as an introduction, and he's focusing on kingdom principles. Then he gets into some application. Jesus is saying, you're the salt and light. Then he goes into how. How? See, the how that Jesus refers to are all matters of the heart. Last week, we talked about faith and deeds. Not faith, but faith and deeds. Sorry. We talked about how you got to be a doer at one point and how you can't just hear. We talked about last week how your faith should result in action and you can't just say you have faith and do nothing. There's got to be, they go together. There's no getting around it. The truth remains that faith will result in action, but today we're going to look at a lot of that faith piece and really the heart behind it, really how our hearts are changed. Jesus is saying that to prevent the action of sin is not truly righteousness. That's what his whole message is about. It's not about avoiding the action. He says your heart has to be right. He keeps dealing with the heart. You've heard it said, thou shalt not murder, but I tell you, you should not even hate. He takes it to the issue of the heart. He says, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I tell you, you should not even lust. He takes it to the heart. Jesus keeps bringing it to the heart. This is all about heart stuff. He's establishing the importance of integrity in our witness. The importance of integrity. Repeatedly, he'll say these things because it's a matter of the heart. And the reason Jesus is making this a heart issue, that's an integrity issue. People can see your actions and you can do all the right things. But Jesus is dealing with the heart. And he's always ever been concerned with the heart. Because ugly people in their hearts can do great things. The world is capable of doing good things. In fact, there are parts of the world that are organizations in our world that are not interested in Jesus, but they're doing better things than the church is doing because we're sitting around arguing about stuff. It's an issue of the heart. Jesus is dealing with the heart stuff because that's the thing that only he sees. Sometimes we don't even see the heart. We don't even see our own heart sometimes. Sometimes we need Jesus to come in there. That's what the conviction of the Holy Spirit is. He just shines a light on the area of the heart we're trying to ignore. And you need to know that the beauty of Jesus is all he does is shine the light there. He doesn't say anything about it. If we're in relationship with him, the light's shining there. We're like, hey, no, I don't turn the light this way, Jesus. I don't want you to see that. He goes, no, it's staying there. We have a mess to clean up. See, Jesus is interested in the heart. This is the foundation of what I want to say. Before we get going too much, we're talking about salt and light. Let's talk real quick about what salt means, especially to this audience that was originally hearing it. Jesus is on a mountainside. Well, if you can call it a mountain, it's like Terrace Mountain. You know, we know better in BC what mountains are. But anyway, they're on a mountain. And Jesus is preaching to them and teaching them, and he says, you are the salt of the earth. So quickly understanding what salt is in the context of the people that are hearing it. For us, salt is just something you put in your kitchen, you know, for the most part. Maybe put it on your, in the north here, we're used to putting it on our roads or walkways to melt the snow. You know, we have some uses for salt, but we don't understand its value. It's not nearly as valuable as it was. Salt was very valuable. You're the salt of the earth. Understand that the church is extremely valuable to God, to his economy, to his kingdom, and to his purpose. The church is valuable. Those believers in his kingdom are extremely valuable to him. Salt used to be so valuable, they'd pay you in salt. There are accounts of soldiers being paid in salt. It was literally worth its weight in gold. You'd get salt. You'd be paid in salt. That's actually where the word salary comes from. The root for salt, salary, that's just a little tidbit for you. Salt is very valuable. And it's beneficial for preservation and it's good for seasoning. We know these things about salt. We're going to only be able to look at the seasoning aspect to understand it in our context, because I could talk to you till I'm blue in the face about its value, but you're going to go get it at Save-On later, so you're not really seeing the value there anymore. So we'll just deal with the seasoning aspect. It'll work. Don't worry, the analogy will still work. Light, as it is referred to here, is to assist in visibility after it's dark, after the sun's gone down, to create an ability to see in the darkness. So light's purpose, obviously, is to eliminate darkness. This morning, I'm going to break some preaching rules, which only bothers me. We're supposed to be positive. All of our points are supposed to be positive. But every one of my points this morning has the word not in it. So, oops. It's a good thing I already graduated. In light of this, then, let's consider what it means to be salt and light. The first thing is this. It's not all about you. It's not all about you. Don't get too offended. This wasn't the time to stop listening to me, you know. Well, now I'm tuning you out. It's not all about you. It's all about others. And Jesus. The reason I put it there that way is because we're always like, yeah, it's all about Jesus. It is, and I don't want you to miss that, but we want to skip past the part that it's all about others, because it is just as much about others. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second greatest commandment, the first being love Jesus. So let's not forget that it's the second greatest commandment, only number two to loving God. And remember, we talked about how you can't really love God with everything if you hate people. It doesn't work. There's a disconnect there. So just putting all those little things into perspective, it's not all about you. It's about others. We need to get others minded. Jesus might save people you don't want him to save. You can even maybe think of family members. You're like, no, God, they don't need to come into the, not in my church, God. Save them and send them to the E-free, Lord. Don't bring them to me. I don't want to rub shoulders with them every Sunday morning. And isn't it true that God's going to bring those people into your church and sit them right beside you? Now look around. No, just kidding. Isn't it true? God has a way of doing this, and you're sitting there going, why did you save them, Lord? I know you're loving and merciful, but God, it's not all about you. And God will put people there to help you remember that. He will. Or maybe he'll just call you to a position, you know, to help you remember that. You know, pastors, we get that all the time. You can go home. We deal with all y'all at the same time. You can sit on this side of the church and not have to worry about that side of the church, and everything's okay. I'm called to love you as much as you and you and you. Some days that's not very easy. Sorry, is that too honest? You get no benefit. Not really. There is a benefit in doing what you're called to do. There is a benefit in loving others. We fail to see it because we don't usually love others. We skip past that part. There absolutely is a benefit in doing the things God's way. As hard as it is, when you read the Word of God and he says, I need you to love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you, and I need you to be salt and light, and I need you to stand out and be different, I need you to be this kind of a person. As hard as it is to read those things, it is always better to do it his way. How many of you know how exhausting it is to hate people? You shouldn't have agreed so quickly. Or at least kept it to yourself. You know, oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. You spend way more energy being bothered by people's problems than you do loving them. Really? I've told people that you sit in unforgiveness and it just destroys your life. I mean, whoever you're having a problem with is going on like nothing's wrong because they have no idea. They're having a great old time. You're just, if you just forgive and get over it, everything will be okay. Sounds hard, but you're the one dealing with all the pain. I've known people who've ended up in the hospital because they couldn't forgive. Bitterness literally caused them to become ill. Oh, I'm not going to forgive. But do you know? A disciple said to Jesus, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? Oh, no, I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. If you can get that high, if you can forgive somebody that many times, great. But that wasn't even the point. He wasn't saying like 70 times. That's a lot of times. Yeah, that was the point. You shouldn't be able to find the end. That wasn't in my notes. Sorry, Yoon. When salt is added to food, it does not benefit itself. It's still just salt. The food is changed. You're the salt of the earth, and you get out there on the earth, and you get out there and you change things. It doesn't really change you. You're still just salt. It changes the world. Let that sink in. You're not asked to go out there and spread salt. We think we're asked to go out there and spread salt. No, he said, be salt. Let him do the spreading. That would have made more sense if I was holding the shaker, but then there would have been a mess. The janitors would have been like, actually, they would have pointed me to where the vacuum is. Light does not benefit itself. It does give clarity, though, to those who are affected by it. You notice that the majority of the Sermon of the Mount is about relationship with other people? No? Okay. We don't have time to read the whole Sermon on the Mount, so it's there. It's about dealing with other people. Adultery, well, that deals with other people. We don't need to get into that. Murder and hate, anger, that deals with other people. You got an issue with another person, it says in the passage about being angry, he says, get over it. You need to go and forgive. You need to mend things. You come to church and you're upset at somebody in church. Doesn't it affect your worship? Don't you worship like this? If you can worship like this. You're trying to sing about the love of Jesus. With a frown on your face. Some of you do a really good job. See, we're called to be salt, not spread salt. Some of us want to take this, and I got to be careful where I go because of this microphone and the speakers. Some people want to take this to that person who's got a lot of sin in their life. And we want to salt them up. Yeah, who should I find? No. We want to go to them and we want to put salt in their situation. And so we think that it's all about spreading the salt. And God is the spreader of the salt. Okay, we are the salt. So quit trying to take the shaker. It's in his hands. It's in the Creator's hands. Let God hold the shaker because he's got it. Let him spread the salt. Because A, he'll know how much. How many of you know you can put too much salt? Some of you are like, no, because you're like, you can put too much salt. I'm a person that doesn't use salt. Except where it has to be there. But I'm not really a cook either, so I don't use salt. Some of us think that our purpose is to spread salt. No, you're called to be salt. Your presence needs to cause a change all by itself. You're not called to make the change. You're just supposed to be there. The salt, just by its very existence of what it is, will cause change. Salt doesn't leave the shaker going, okay, let's get to work. We got to do this, and let's have a meeting. Let's call all the other salt grains together. We need to do this right. No. Salt, it's not to be hoarded. It's to be shared. I want to use an example, and Tanner, if you want to get ready. Thank you. I brought props this morning. See, we're not called to keep it to ourselves. It's to be shared. Oh, I want to keep all of the light to me. I want to keep it all. Let me do this right. I'm a little confused. Go ahead, Tanner, and turn them off so we can see what we're seeing here. Chris, if you want to turn off your lights for a moment. Feels strange holding it now. Thank you. It was not a very good glow, so we had to turn all the lights off so you could see it. He says, people don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl or a stew pot. Because it's defeating its purpose. If it's to give light, it's defeating its purpose. And we are not called to be light in hidden places. We're called to share the light. We're called to let the light be seen. But more specifically, he says, people put it on its stand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. Do you realize the power of this light? I know we got window lights that are flooding the room now. You kill the lights that you're used to having, and some of you are very uncomfortable right now. They turn the lights off in church. I was taking notes. I can't see my paper. But light is so powerful that it can light up a space all by itself. It's very hard to conceal light. You can turn them back on, Tanner. And Chris, thank you. Instead, they put it on its stand so that it gives light to more than just the people inside the pot. They allow it to spread. See, it's to be shared. And again, the purpose is not that we're going to get any attention out of this. He says, this is going to come through your good deeds. You are the light of the world, so let your light shine before men that they might see your good deeds. You see how this is tying together with our theme? That they will see your good deeds and glorify your Father. It's pretty cool that what he's saying is you be light, you shine, that they will see your good deeds and they will praise God. Not they'll see your good deeds and you'll start praising, but they will start praising. It's pretty interesting. He says, you shine your light before men. Turn the wrong ones on. I'm just buggy. Chris will have a problem with it. I don't. You got to be light. Similarly, these things are not to remain contained. Both light and salt are of little to no use while they remain contained. It is only once they leave. So the lamp left the bowl, the bowl. That's when it has an effect. This would have more of an effect if we took the lampshade off, but then you'd all be like, so we won't. Salt's an easier one to understand this with. This salt is of no use right now. It's in the shaker. It's doing nothing right now but being salt. In church, we can be salt, and we're really good at this part. We're good at being salt. Look, this shaker is like the church. We're really good at being salt in church. We're really good at being salt in our circle of families or our homes. But God, don't ask me to leave the shaker. I like to be salt in the shaker where all the other salt is. I want to be that salt grain that's in the bottom, so I'm the last to leave the shaker. God, don't let me get out of this. This is a comfortable place. I don't have to do anything here. I can just be salt. which means I'm changed by the power of God. Yeah, it's all great stuff. I'm affected by his love and his mercy and his grace, and I am salt. I'm being salt, but I'm being salt cooped up in a shaker. I'm not really useful for anything. There's a place for the shaker, because if we didn't have the shaker, there'd just be a pile of salt here, and it'd be very hard for me to pick it up. Right? No? Maybe? So there's a purpose for it, just like there's a purpose for us gathering. It's a good thing to do. It's good for us to get together with other people and good for us to worship. It's good for us to come here on bad days and on good days. You know, when we really don't want to be in church, it's really good for us to come to church. Especially if we're having problems with other people, because they're probably at church that day too, and you're going to have to work it out. It's great. You know, welcome to church. Shake the hand of the person next to you. I don't want to shake anybody. And it's good if you're having a good day, it's good that you do the worship and you really get into it and you begin to give God glory and however you can. Even if you can't sing well, you just give it all you got. Because if you really are entering into the presence of God, if you really are getting into worship, if you really are encountering who he is, you might break some chains around you. And they might not stand up and shout, but they might leave with a smile instead of the frown they came in with. Be salt. Be light. You got to do it here. Yeah, absolutely. There's a place to be gathered in the container. But let God take the container once in a while and shake it out. If God wants to put you in the place of ministry, if he wants to put you in charge of Kids Express, if he wants to put you even assisting in Kids Express, if he wants to, we're really stressing that this morning. The word of the day is Kids Express. If he wants to put you in a place where the children are getting touched, the youth are getting touched by the power of God, you keep hearing, and I keep hearing it, how we need to mentor our children and our teens so that they can become. You need to understand that they are now encountering the presence of God now. They need to know God now, not so they can become, not so that someday they might lead the church. No, they need to become now so they can start leading now. You got to watch out when kids and teens get on fire for God, they're going to start teaching you how to do it as well. I hope I can come back from History Maker with a bunch of fired up teenagers who can show you how to be fired up. They can do that now. Well, you need to get your Bible college degree, and you need to do your internships. You need to, even your Bible college degree doesn't get you a whole lot of help, right, Mikey? Sometimes it's still a problem. You still can't get a job. Sorry, little inside information there. We're done. See, they're a powerful thing now. They need to know now. Kids have an amazing view of God. Why don't we change it for a change? Why don't you ask the kids, what do you think of God? We tell them what to think. Let them change your view. I love watching kids at camp, kids camp. And they're crying at the altar. They don't know why. I've had kids come up to them, can we play the sad song again? I love it. My own sister, she's almost 12 now. She'll cry in the presence of God. She goes, I don't know why, it's just so sad. I'm like, it's not sad. I said, your spirit's encountering its creator. And you're having a moment. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we're too tough to cry. Sometimes we laugh. Have you ever been in a church service where everybody's laughing? I have. Like pretty soon the whole room. Sometimes we're just laughing at other people's laughs because it's hilarious. But the Spirit of God encourages this and we start to move in laughter and probably somebody needed it. I've been there too. Salt must make contact with the food if it's going to be useful. We heard this one at conference. Don't send me out of the shaker. Well, if you're going to change the texture or the taste of the food, you have to touch the food. God, I want to be salt. It doesn't do us any good to move the salt shaker close to the food. Let's be close. We don't want to touch the food, but let's be close. Nothing is happening. Now, these crackers are salty enough, but nothing is happening. The salt has to make contact, has to touch. I want to be used for you, God, but don't send me out of the church. Okay, let's pretend that that's okay. Because I do a lot of work in the church, right? It's my job. I spend a lot of time here. God will bring them to me. You know, at least half of my youth group is not churched anywhere. They don't go to church anywhere. I'm dealing with students. I can't say, you know the story of Jonah? And they look at me like, okay, do you know the story of Noah? No. Which I guess makes it easy for a youth pastor. I got a whole bunch of sermons I can preach that I've preached before. Oh, you haven't heard Jonah? Good, that's an easy one. Let's talk about the... I'm kidding. Take it easy. God will bring them to you. So, you know, God, don't let me leave the church. All right, well, we'll bring them in. Might have drunks on Sunday morning because you don't want to leave the church. They're going to sit right beside you. Huh, Lord, this is weird. Pray for him. No, God, no. I don't want to make contact. I'm close enough. Just let me. Thirdly, I'm running out of time. It is not to be a secret. Let your light shine before men. Not in secret. Not let your light shine before your family. Not let your light shine before your church. Though those could be okay. It's good to practice shining the light. That's good. But he says, let your light shine before men. And that's just a Greek term, which actually means men and women, before you get all that. Well, I don't have to shine my light. You're a woman. Let your light shine before men. Let your light... I don't want to let my light shine. Do you know that the enemy knows that you've been given this command? Do you know that the devil knows the word of God? He knows it well enough to twist it. And he's going to put people that are going to be hard to shine in front of. Oh, I don't want to shine my light, God. They're so difficult. Let your light shine, not in secret, but where everyone can see it and marvel at the beauty that it carries. Do you realize that you're a reflection of the light of the sun? S-O-N. The light of Jesus. Basically, you're just like the moon. How many of you know the moon's beautiful? Maybe not. You're like, kind of blemished. Spots. It's not as beautiful as the sun. Well, no, it's not. But it's a reflection of the sun's light. We need to be a reflection of God's sun. And when we are, it's going to be beautiful, but not for us. The moon doesn't think it's beautiful. You're not going to be, well, I look good. I don't ever think that. That's why I don't preach in front of mirrors. That was a hard sermon 2 weeks ago. If you weren't here, I had mirrors all over the stage. So it's just not fun. See, we need to reflect that light. And then when we do, they're going to see what? The light of Jesus, not your light. That's a good thing. Your light isn't very beautiful. He says our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's his righteousness that we need to show. Our righteousness doesn't do anything. we need to reflect his light. Oh, what a beautiful light. Yes, that's Jesus. That's the light of Jesus. I mean, be light. We are the salt and light of the whole earth. Our saltiness should be evident. People's lives should be improved by the presence of God within us. This morning I was sitting there worshiping and God gave me a little bit more insight into my sermon. So again, sorry, Yoon, this didn't make it into the notes because I got it over here while we were singing. The light that is in us and the salt that is in us, that thing that makes us shine and makes us salty is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I was sitting there, and what made me think about it is how Jesus said, I have to leave. That's what we're celebrating this morning. I have to leave so that the Spirit can come. I have to get out of the way because as long as I stay here, you're never going to step out and do the things that I'm doing. And you're never going to become effective and understand and learn the true beauty and power of being salt and light. So he says, I got to go home to where I live and prepare a place for you. I'm going to send the Spirit to come and dwell inside of each and every one of you. And he is going to give you the power and the strength to shine and be salty. It's the Spirit of God. We thank him for the price he paid on a cross. We thank him for the stripes that bring us healing. And we thank him for the price he paid. And we thank him for the gift he sent. If it scares you to be used of God, ask him for that Spirit. I've heard it compared to like glowing embers. They're there. The Spirit's there, just glowing. Like at creation, he's hovering. He's just waiting with deep anticipation of being your power source. And all he needs is for you to get ready. And then God fans the flame and it bursts into this beautiful fire. And you are no longer afraid to be used of God. It's hard sometimes, especially when we stop looking at him. You might be out on the waves walking on the water like Peter, and it gets hard because suddenly you realize you're walking on the water and you start to sink because you fail to focus on Jesus and pay attention to the Savior who's right there, who's the reason you're able to do this. And you miss the point, but if you keep your attention where it belongs, you keep your eyes on Jesus, you can and will do whatever he asks you to do, and it'll come. You know when the power of God has been a part of your ministry when you look back and have no idea how you did any of that. That describes my entire life. I have no idea how I did any of that. That wasn't meant to be arrogant. But I look back and go, how have I made it 2.5, almost 3 years in ministry? How of full-time ministry? How have I made it this far, God? How have I been able to do any of this? Power of God. Be salt. I'm coming to a close. Be salt. Help preserve, cleanse, and even season the world around you. Bring a fresh, new flavor into your area of influence. Not an acquired taste, I might add. Some of you bring flavor, but okay, it's too long. I've been preaching too long. You're missing it now. You are very valuable. The world truly needs you. Don't let anything diminish your value to the kingdom of God. Your skill, your passion are things that God can use if you'll let him. make contact with the world and leave the salt shaker so that your impact can be felt. Here am I, send me. Shake me out of the shaker, God. Let me go. I want to do this. Be light. Shine or reflect. Let your good deeds be seen by as many as possible without putting on a show. Just to add that little bit in there. You know, some of you are like, hey, I'll show you my good deeds. You'll notice that the rest of the Sermon on the Mount is all about, okay, do all these good things, but not for anybody's attention. He always says, if you do this for people's attention, you have received your reward. Meaning all of the attention you got out of that is all the reward you're going to get out of it. But if you do it for the glory of God and His glory alone and not worry about who sees you or who cares, you only let God be your audience. Let God see it. The blessing and the reward is so much greater than if you got your attention your own way. Nobody might ever notice your ministry. They might never see what you do. Some of you are actually okay with that. You'd rather it be that way. God, call me to a ministry where I don't have to be at the front. I keep telling you, but it's hard for you to believe because I have a microphone and I'm standing up here, but this isn't where I want to be. Sitting in the front row is not my place. The very back of the balcony is my place. It's where I'm most comfortable. And not because I'm looking down on everybody. Don't read into that. God will put you in a place. Do this. Shine. Do this in order that God would get the glory. More to the point, do this so that others would glorify God. Let your light shine, that the darkness would no longer prevail and that people's eyes would be opened. Shine. Shine. That people's eyes would be opened. I've heard it said that if the world says, thank God they were there, that's as much glory as they can give. They haven't entered the church, maybe. They're not. I'm talking about people who don't know God. If what's in their hearts is, thank God they were there. You just shine your light and they just give glory. That's all it is. If it opens the door. Be salt. Be light. Be like Christ. And watch what God will do with your life.